How do John's famous words, "the Word became flesh," help us understand John's gospel? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on John 1:1 through 7:1. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at issuesetc.org. This new commentary covers the first six chapters of John. The Concordia Commentary on John by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Bill Weinrich.
We're told that God is loving and kind and just and intrinsically good. But when someone like myself points out the rather obvious and compelling evidence that God is cruel and unjust because he visits suffering on innocent people of a scope and scale that would embarrass the most ambitious psychopath, okay, we're told that God is mysterious. Okay, who can understand God's will?
That's atheist Sam Harris speaking about human suffering in a video that makes a very plausible sounding argument about human suffering. Essentially, things are so bad for human beings, any God that would allow it to happen isn't worth believing in. He's either evil or impotent, and that passes as a proof against the existence of God, perhaps an argument against God's very existence, or an argument against the Christian God, which is exactly Sam Harris's target there as he speaks about human suffering. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, February the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to be our guest here for the first half hour or so. We're going to talk about human suffering. Also at the kickoff of our conversation, get his impression of President Obama's speech yesterday, on Wednesday actually, at a Baltimore mosque. Then Dr. Donna Harrison joins us. We're going to talk about a medical perspective on the unborn. Pastor Chris Rose will join us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about a prophecy claiming that if the Carolina Panthers win the Super Bowl, God will release revival in the United States. Yes, someone actually has said that. Then, since it's Friday, we play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to discuss human suffering, especially atheist Sam Harris's take on human suffering, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Before we get your response to atheist Sam Harris on human suffering, I did want your thoughts. We talked yesterday with a good mutual friend, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, about the president's address at a Baltimore mosque earlier in the week. What were your thoughts on that address?
Yes, well, it's obvious that President Obama wanted, through this address, to bring as many in the Muslim community into mainstream American life as possible. And, of course, that's commendatory. That certainly must be done, particularly in the case of Muslims who are already citizens of the United States or already have green cards, and that's just fine. The problem with this kind of thing is, however, that in order to achieve this, the technique that President Obama used was really to say that inherently there is not a problem in Islam. Islam is not the source of the terrorist difficulties. And therefore, if we can just make a distinction between Islam, which is a religion of peace, and the terrorist activity, then we will understand the situation much better. The difficulty with this, and I'm sure that Al Schmidt pointed this out yesterday, the problem with this is that, as a matter of fact, Islam has never been a religion of peace. Islam has been, from the beginning, a religion of jihad, of war and forced conversions. And this kind of thing is inherent to the Quran, which, of course, is at the very heart of Islamic faith. Surah 4, for example, says, "Let those fight on the path of God. Whoever fighteth on God's path will in the end receive a great reward." And Surah 9, "Contend against the infidels and the hypocrites, and be harsh with them. Hell shall be their dwelling place." The question there, of course, is whether the Quran, speaking of the opposition between early Muslim believers and the pagans around them, is applicable and binding today in reference to the terrorist efforts to eliminate Western values. And one very interesting work on this is by Dr. Christine Schumacher. She has spoken for us at the Academy in Strasbourg and is the foremost specialist on Islam within Germany. She is constantly called by the German parliament to deal with these questions. And she has said in one work, and I'm quoting, "Extremists who would apply the early Muslim community's struggle against infidels to present-day conflicts can hardly be accused of misinterpreting the Quran. For people who resist the spread of Islam can scarcely be considered as innocent victims." So the terrorists are really being very, very consistent with Islamic principles. At the very end of his speech, President Obama stressed certain aspects of Islam. These are, of course, taken out of context, but they are really interesting. In one case, he stresses the fact that really our values are the basis of what we do, and so the value system is vital. And he cites the word igra at the beginning of the Quran, which translates as know, that we should be seeking out more information. We shouldn't be religiously ignorant. You know, if I had been in President Obama's position, and if he were a really active, dynamic Christian believer, this is what he could have said in the speech. He could have said, you in the audience have either come to this country yourself, or your parents or your relatives have come to this country. Why? Because you are fascinated by the strength, the power, the values that the United States represents. And while you are here, wouldn't it be a good idea to follow out the Platonic axiom that the unexamined life is not worth living? Wouldn't it be a good idea to ask yourself, what is it about the United States that has made it the most powerful and important nation in the world? What is it? It's its value system, of course. And where did that value system come from? It came directly from biblical Christianity. Therefore, were I to have delivered this speech, I would have said, our country maintains religious toleration of all viewpoints, but personally, wouldn't it be entirely appropriate if you looked into Christian faith to find out what the real foundations are of the American system and consider that as a religious possibility? To know means to check evidence and to determine whether or not we might be able to move into a position that would be much more satisfactory for us than the position that the Muslim community maintains at the present time.
Turning to the subject of atheist Sam Harris, he recently released a video wherein he makes a very well-trod argument of sorts. I don't know if you would qualify it as an argument, Dr. Montgomery, but I think he certainly does, about the existence of God, and he approaches it from the problem, so-called problem of evil.
9 million children die every year before they reach the age of 5. Picture an Asian tsunami of the sort we saw in 2004 that killed 250,000 people. One of those every 10 days killing children only under 5. It's 24,000 children a day, 1,000 an hour. 17 or so a minute. That means before I can get to the end of this sentence, some few children, very likely, will have died in terror and agony. Think of the parents of these children. Think of the fact that most of these men and women believe in God and are praying at this moment for their children to be spared. And their prayers will not be answered. Any God who would allow children by the millions to suffer and die in this way, and their parents to grieve in this way, either can do nothing to help them or doesn't care to. He is therefore either impotent or evil.
That's a very concise way and a graphic way, Dr. Montgomery, of putting together this argument. How do you respond?
Well, in the first place, it is an entirely incorrect way of going at a problem like this to start out by attempting philosophically to give reasons why God cannot exist. The only way to find out whether God exists is to check out the evidence. And if the evidence is strong enough that God does exist, and if he reveals himself as to his character, then you simply have to take him as he is. Isn't this the difference between maturity and childishness? We want our children to find out what the world really is like, and if they find that in this world there are a lot of messy things, we don't want them to stick their heads in the sand as if they were ostriches. We want them to face the fact. Now, there is overwhelming evidence scientifically for God's existence, the regularity of the cosmos, and so on. There is all of the prophetic evidence of the Old Testament to back up Jesus' claim to be God Almighty in the flesh, his resurrection from the dead, showing that he can conquer the most difficult of human problems, namely the problem of death. Then, if that evidence is strong enough, what one does is to look at what God says about himself and about his values. And we learn from Holy Scripture that God is a God of maximum love. That is to say, in a sense, the philosopher Leibniz was right that this is the best of all possible worlds. That is, if there had been a world better than ours that could have been consistent with divine values, that would have been the universe and not the one we're in. So what we have to do is to ask ourselves, how do we face these horrors that Sam Harris is talking about? Well, we don't solve the problem by refusing to believe in God or refusing to pay attention to the evidence in his behalf. What we do is ask ourselves, as best we can, how we can understand this situation. As a result of his creatures going against his will and messing up the creation, something fierce, and the messing up was not only psychological, it was materialistic, and as a result of this, we have a world in which there are a dreadful number of things going on, no question about it. But that isn't because God has created those miseries. It's because the human race itself is out of fellowship with God, and you can only expect when the human race has made the worst possible decision that there are going to be the worst possible consequences from this.
Dr. John Ward Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about atheist Sam Harris on human suffering on this Friday afternoon, February the 5th. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit more from Sam Harris and get Dr. Montgomery's response. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're responding to atheist Sam Harris and his argument on human suffering and the existence of God. Dr. Montgomery, the argument, of course, goes on. It's essentially the same argument, but he adds to it other factors that he believes will probably mitigate one's belief in the existence of God.
Most of these people, many of these people certainly, will be going to hell because they're praying to the wrong God. Think about that. Okay, through no fault of their own, they were born into the wrong culture where they got the wrong theology and they missed the revelation. Okay, there are 1.2 billion people in India at this moment. Most of them are Hindus, most of them therefore polytheists. So God created the cultural isolation of the Hindus. Okay, he engineered the circumstance of their deaths in ignorance of revelation. And then he created the penalty for this ignorance, which is an eternity of conscious torment in fire. Okay, on the other hand, on Dr. Craig's account, your run-of-the-mill serial killer in America, okay, who spent his life raping and torturing children, need only come to God, come to Jesus on death row, and after a final meal of fried chicken, he's going to spend an eternity in heaven after death. Okay. One thing should be crystal clear to you. This vision of life has absolutely nothing to do with moral accountability.
How do you respond to that, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, for one thing, if you're an atheist, you don't have any business talking about moral accountability in the first place. You have absolutely no basis for absolute morals, for inalienable rights, or any positive values. All of these assertions are nothing but human creation and and don't rise above the level of the people who set them forth. So, of course, that point is fundamental, and it makes it impossible for the atheist to engage in any kind of meaningful moral criticism. But then beyond that, Harris assumes that God has set up cultural situations so as to provide an India that is full of Hindus, and then he punishes people because that's where they find themselves. Fact of the matter is that the Indian culture and all other cultures have been created by human beings themselves. And the various religions of the world, when they are not a proper revelational religion, turn out to be simply the projection of the individuals who have formed those religions. Let me also throw in a theory. Now, this is nothing more than a hypothesis or theory, and I don't want anybody to attempt to burn me for heresy as a result of suggesting it. But let us suppose that an individual who has never had the opportunity to hear about Christ for one reason or another, suppose that individual just at the point of death, not in this world, not in the next world, but on the knife edge between the two worlds, let's suppose that that individual did have an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. We are told in the New Testament that no man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. So the only way into heaven is to acknowledge him and acknowledge him as one Savior. Now, I am not suggesting that that is necessarily the case, but I'm saying that there is no reason in the world to assume that the God who loved the human race enough to send his only son to die for us when we didn't deserve it on any level whatsoever. There is no reason to assume that God would ever allow a single individual to go to hell if there were any way to avoid that.
You know, something good happens to a Christian. He feels some bliss while praying, say, or he sees some positive change in his life, and we're told that God is good. Okay, but when children by the tens of thousands are torn from their parents' arms and drown, we're told that God is mysterious. Okay, this is how you play tennis without the net. Okay, and I want to suggest to you that it is not only tiresome when otherwise intelligent people speak this way, it is morally reprehensible. This kind of faith is really the perfection of narcissism. I mean, God loves me, don't you know? He cured me of my eczema. Given the misery that's being imposed on some helpless child at this instant, this kind of faith is obscene. To think in this way is to fail to reason honestly or to care sufficiently about the suffering of other human beings. We're being offered a psychopathic and psychotic moral attitude. It's psychotic because this is completely delusional. There's no reason to believe that we live in a universe ruled by an invisible monster, Yahweh. But it is psychopathic because this is a total detachment from the well-being of human beings. This so easily rationalizes the slaughter of children. It allows perfectly decent and sane people to believe by the billions what only lunatics could believe on their own.
Oh, he doesn't mince words, Dr. Montgomery. What's your response?
No, he certainly doesn't. But underlying this argument is the very problem we've been talking about. He assumes a particular set of moral values, and he assumes that God is the direct cause, the causal factor, for the miseries of little children and all the rest of the difficulties that he describes. And he also assumes that God is really not doing anything. The fact of the matter is in biblical revelation we see that God sends prophets and he sends apostles and he pleads with the nation Israel to shape up. And ultimately, the parable that Jesus told about the son of the owner of the vineyard, and ultimately the husbandman kill the son. And, it's perfectly monstrous. But the God of the Bible even sends his own son into the world and is then killed by the very sinners that his son came to save. All of that, Harris is oblivious of. And this is really sad because it shows the kind of ignorance and bad logic that comes about if you first of all determine what God ought to be like and what the world ought to be like if there were a God, and then when the world doesn't come up to those standards, you toss God out. This is a back-ass way of dealing with the problem of God's existence and the problem of evil. You've got to start with the concrete evidence that God does exist, and then you've got to determine who he is and why he has done what he has done. And you're not going to do that unless you're able to work on this problem by way of the revelation that God himself has provided.
Dr. Montgomery, before we let you go, give us a little update, if you would, on the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights.
Well, this July program is completely full, and we suspect that this is going to be the history of the program in the future. We are already accepting applications for the Reformation Year Academy program in July 2017. And we think that it would be very wise for listeners at Issues Etc. who have thought about this program for so many years to apply even this early for July 2017. The fact of the matter is that we already have some disappointed people, and we have people on a waiting list for 2017. There is no problem in attending in 2017 at this point, but we wouldn't want people to miss the only Institute of Advanced Study in Apologetics anywhere in the world because they simply have not applied early enough.
Folks, you will find a link to the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He is director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Where Christ is Present. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're most welcome.
When we come back on Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon, February the 5th, we're going to get a medical perspective on the unborn. Dr. Donna Harrison will join us. She's executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She's been an OBGYN for 3 decades. We'll get her thoughts on the unborn right after this.
God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.